Minister's office in Canberra. Now, the Prime Minister is Mr. Ross Wood at this particular time. Mr. Ross Wood. That's because he's head of the Splinter Party. Now, that's the ruling party. And in comes his Minister for Health. And the Minister for Health is Mr. Foyd. And they call him Ty for short. So Mr. Ty Foyd comes in and he says to the Prime Minister, Mr. Ross Wood, let's cancel Medibank. And the Prime Minister, naturally enough, says, why? So the Health Minister says, well, I don't know. The Prime Minister shakes his head and says, well, why do you want to cancel Medibank? And he says, well, I don't know, it's just a good idea. No reasons given whatsoever. The Prime Minister shakes his head and dismisses the Minister for Health. Well, you can imagine that's how it would be if men came in and wanted to make such a drastic decision as that and had no reason. Now, let's say also you're then translated again in vision, and this time you're up in God's throne, and there's incense wafting up representing the prayers of all these saints down there, and up comes the incense from one particular member, and you hear in a sort of garbled, sleepy voice, please heal Mr. Herbert Armstrong. Please bless the work. Please help somebody else to send in more money. Please bless me. And then it trails off into sleep. And all of a sudden there's a shake and a bit more incense comes up again. Someone stirred the fire, you know. And then it's repeated again and then it trails off into sleep. And this happens two or three times in the half hour's up and the person's away. No, you know, that's... might be funny, but I know that, you know, that's a trouble we have sometimes, those of us that have to get to work early in the morning. Some that have to start off early. It's very difficult to pray very early. But if that was all that your prayers consisted of, please do this, please do that, please give me this, please have somebody else send in the money, is God really likely to answer those prayers any more so than the Prime Minister is likely to answer the question from the Minister of Health? And I think you have to answer, or would have to realise that the answer is he's not very likely to answer a prayer that's as brief and as simple and as vague as that. Now, we do have problems with having effective prayers. And in those examples of two different people requesting things, there's an missing ingredient. And what I'd like to do is turn over into an example in the Bible here and look at a prayer that was rather effective and see if we can determine what is this thing that's missing from the requests that these two people made. So let's turn over to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 11. And I'll set the scene here. And this is at the time in the history of the children of Israel where they had reached the border of the land of Canaan. And the spies had been sent across to determine what was in the land, what it was like, what the people were like, what the cities were like, what sort of produce was grown there. And here in verse 11 of Numbers 14, and if I get the right chapter, it'll help too. And so anyway, what had happened was, of course, as you remember, and I'm not going to read the whole account, but the spies come back. They give reports that do not agree, but as an overall thing, the spies feel that they cannot take the land, that it's not worth going in there, that all the effort expended in the wilderness in getting there wasn't worth it, and that all God had done was to lead them there to die. And that is the gist of the report that these men brought back. In spite of the fact they brought back with some produce of the like of which they had never seen before. Anyway, in verse 11 here of Numbers 14, the Lord said unto Moses, of course, being rather angry at the report that these men had brought back, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed to them? Here I am, I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I brought them across the Red Sea. I created miracles they had never seen before. I was a pillar of fire at night and a cloud by day. I watched over them. I provided them with water I don't know how many times. And on it goes. And God says in verse 12, and he was so fed up with them that he said, I'm going to smite them with pestilence and disinherit them, and I'll make of you, Moses, a greater nation and mightier than they are. So here was Moses' chance. Moses had a chance to make a name for himself, greater than he'd already done. It would have ranked greater than Abraham would have, because he would have been the ancestor of all the children of Israel, I guess, at that time. And Moses said unto the Lord, in verse 13, Lord, he says, then the Egyptians shall hear it, if you do this, if you wipe out all your people, the Egyptians shall hear it, for you brought the people in your might from among them, the Egyptians. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that you, Lord, are among this people, and that you, Lord, are seen face to face, and that your cloud stands over them, and that you go before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud and in a pillar of fire at night. He said, the Egyptians, Father, they've heard these things. They know what you're like. They're going to tell the people of the land that you're going into. Now, he says in verse 15, if you shall kill all this people as one man, if you wipe them out, then the nations which have heard the fame of you, then, God, they're going to say, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he swore unto them, therefore he slain them in the wilderness. They're going to turn around, God, and they're going to say, look, you brought them out of Egypt, but you just weren't quite strong enough to take them into the land, into this promised land. And so because you didn't want to lose faith, then you wiped them all out. Verse 17. Now, Moses says, I beseech you, God, let the power of my Lord be great, according as you have spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech you, the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of your mercy, and as you have forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And so he reminded God that he was a God renowned for his mercy, for his forgiveness, for his long-suffering, and how much that he cared for these people in spite of all their sins. And he reminded God that they were characteristics that God had. And he said to God, look, God, you don't want to have those characteristics denigrated amongst the nations, do you, by destroying these people? And it says in verse 20, and the Lord said, I have a pardoned according to your word. So God changed his mind because of Moses' prayer. It was a very bold but a respectful prayer. Now, what did Moses do in there that brought those results? Well, one of the things he did do, he went to God and he praised God for the characteristics that God had. And he said to him, look, God, these are characteristics. Now, if you do that, this is what's going to happen. The people are going to say this. And they're going to rubbish your name, God, amongst the other nations. And this is how the nations will look at you if you do this. And God listened to Moses' reasons. And he felt they were good enough to change what he was going to do. Now he looked down, he considered that Moses spoke in humility, because Moses said, no, I don't want to be the father of all these nations. And he turned back and showed these people, he said to God, well, look, God, these people respect your mercy and forgiveness and your love. Build it up, Father. Don't destroy that reputation you have by destroying these people, because this is what people are going to think. And so God listened to Moses. He realized that Moses understood the consequences of the action that God was going to take, and that Moses had an appreciation of what God wanted to do with these people, and that Moses had vision. And so God changed his mind. And the reason is that Moses, in that prayer, gave God reasons why he should do what Moses was asking. Now, our prayers similarly can be far more effective and fervent if we incorporate reasons why we want some of the things done that we're asking God for. Just as if that health minister comes into the prime minister and says, well, look,
I'd like to cancel Medibank. And here's the reasons why. Such and such and such and such and such and such. And here's a report on it. And I've had these people studying into it. And here are all the reasons why I suggest it should be cancelled. The Prime Minister looks at it, and then he can make a decision. And the Minister for Health is far more likely to get what he wants if it's all documented, if he's all the reasons are set out, and the Prime Minister understands it, rather than just coming in and saying, cancel it. And the man doesn't know any reasons why he should. Turn over with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. Gives us an approach we should take in approaching God in prayer. You know, the same thing, the things I try and incorporate when anointing people, especially when anointing children, and it's not always the appropriate thing to mention out loud when you're doing it, but it's something that I consider when and pray silently, is that, you know, when you're asking, say, for a healing for a child, there are good reasons why I ask God to intervene and to heal a child, because that develops the faith that they have. Some of those children have a tremendous confidence in God when they get a speedy healing. And I know examples of that where children have been healed very quickly from various things after anointing. And those children, they don't want anything else other than anointing next time they're sick. And that's, you know, especially for a child, I'll ask God to specifically build the faith of that child and give them start directing that child to looking towards God for healing when it's young. And that's a good reason to ask God to intervene speedily, because a child will not forget if it's a longer-term healing. Same thing if I ask for healing, say, in someone in a remote area, and ask them, well, they don't have other people to lean on, to rely on, they just have you, Father, so please, it will build and strengthen them if the healing is speedy. Now, there's certain reasons you can give for asking God to intervene quickly in healing, but, you know, if you document the reasons, I'm sure God looks much more sympathetically at the request. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. It's talking of Jesus Christ came to earth, experienced human life, understood what it was all about, and can go back and represent humanity before God's throne. Then it says in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace for help in time of need. And that same word that's translated there boldly in other scriptures is translated confidence. It's translated freely. And it means almost to the point of being outspoken. Not rude, not disrespectful, but coming boldly with confidence. Being direct, speaking freely. And that's the way God would like us to approach him. And one of the ways we can do that and go before God's throne is to include reasons with our request. And that will demonstrate to God that, first of all, we've got an understanding of what we're asking for, of why we want it, we've thought it through, we appreciate the consequences, and it shows our understanding of what God's will is on earth, how much we want that carried out. And also, it will demonstrate to God that we're willing to sit down and think some of these things through, and it'll demonstrate our capability as a future advisor in his government. So when you're in prayer, when you're talking to God, asking for something, whether it's for the work, various aspects of the work, whether it's for individuals, for brethren that you know, for friends, or whether it's for yourself, give reasons why you want those things carried out. It'll reveal to God your understanding. It'll reveal the seriousness of the request and how much you've thought it through. And it'll reinforce the request in God's own mind, because I'm sure that if you give reasons and explain your understanding of what you're asking, then God will be far more persuaded to answer in the way that you desire.